Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Thursday, November 4th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is excited to play the Penguins tonight. They're a little depleted, as we'll find out, so maybe that'll give the Flyers a better shot.
It might, but you know it's going to be a greasy game and they're going to be dirty.
Thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. Keep up to date on all our episodes, Flyers news, so much more. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. I am here with Russ Cohen, and you can find him on Twitter at Sportsology. On today's show, we are going to preview tonight's matchup with Brian Metzer of Penguins Radio Network. And then we'll wrap up with our Thursday prospect profile. And this time we're going to go outside the Flyer system and look at somebody who is draft eligible for next year's NHL draft, Frank Nazar. Locked On Flyers is free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. So subscribe and you'll get to hear all of our episodes here on Locked On Sports. All right, real quickly before we get into our preview, a little bit of news out of practice yesterday. Once again, Ryan Ellis, little concerning he's not traveling with the team on this road trip.
I guess sad face emoji would be the one.
That's pretty much it. And AV confirmed that Carter Hart would be starting tonight versus the Penguins, which I think is appropriate. And then the weirdest news, I think, was that Kevin Hayes is traveling with the team because they're so bare bones right now with cap management that they need him to act as a shooter on the goaltenders during practices.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't overdo it, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, I'm just like, this weird, you know, flat cap is making some interesting things go on around hockey.
Yeah.
All right. So we are thrilled to welcome to the show Brian Metzer of Penguins Radio Network to get us ready for tonight's matchup versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me. It's great to catch up with you both today.
Yeah, the Penguins are in quite an interesting situation right now. You know, you've had a bunch of injuries, and then Sidney Crosby had just gotten back, but now he and Brian Dumoulin have tested positive for COVID. So what's going on overall with the team and injuries and people being out?
It's just been a pretty ugly start in that way. We were chuckling about a week ago. They had team calendar night, and the five players that were on the front of the calendar were the five that were out of the lineup that night. It just shows their importance that they were all chosen to be on the cover of the calendar. It was like a voodoo calendar at that point. Huh. It was Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Brian Rust, Jeff Carter, and Chris Letang. Some of them were injured. Some were dealing with COVID. And here we go with COVID rearing its head again. Crosby gets himself back for the one game, as you just mentioned, and goes right back out of the lineup. So it's just been a snake bitten start for them in that way. They weathered the storm early pretty well with, you know, reeling off a couple of victories that nobody really thought that they should have been able to come up with. A little bit of an ugly road with an 0-3-2 situation since they started that season, or started the season with a couple of victories in an overtime loss. So I think I just gave the gave them one of those overtime losses in the last five. It was actually in the first three. But generally, their play has not really, I wouldn't say it dipped, because they've gotten some great scoring opportunities in some games, but you're really seeing all the finish that's absent in their game right now.
Brian, when we're talking about Ron Hextall, and we knew the first year he wasn't going to push the plunger on a rebuild or a retool. I don't think he'll ever do a full rebuild, because I think he wants to keep the fans showing up, but he'll definitely do a retool. And I'm kind of wondering, if this were to continue this year and all of a sudden this year did get derailed at some point, would this be the start of the retool?
I think it could. I mean, if it looks like they're not going to be able to get themselves into a playoff spot, which somehow, some way, they seemingly always get in, you know, and that's going to change at some point, as it does for every team when they finally do miss. But right now it's been, you know, this streak is still alive, and I know they'll want to keep that going, if for no other reason to get a round or two of revenue because they lost so much money last year. But to your point, I think this could be the year that, yes, if they aren't right in the mix, a defenseman or maybe a veteran player, to get some assets to move into the future. But I think for right now, they still believe when they're fully healthy that they have a good chance to make some headway in this Metropolitan Division. The bad thing is the way these injuries have popped up, they are wallowing in the basement at the time of our recording. We'll see if they are able to climb out of that, but it's only going to get worse, minus Sidney Crosby and Brian Dumoulin now. I mean, Dumo, you can say, is probably one of their most valuable defensemen, not named Chris Letang. He does everything right. Well for them. And then with Sid, I know he didn't look great in game one, but them just both being out, you're going to see guys like Joseph probably get in. Some other, I'm sure there's going to be another call up or two on the horizon before the game tonight. I'm not sure. We'll see how that plays out. It wasn't announced as of yet. You could be onto something there, Russ. If they don't make some headway and get themselves into the conversation by the first of the year, maybe he starts to look at a couple of deals to retool some things here.
Are people worried about this team, or are people just thinking, oh, this has just been a run of bad luck with all the injuries and people being out, and we're going to accept what this team is right now and just hope things get better? Or are they genuinely worried?
I think a lot of the media in town that doesn't spend a ton of time around the team, like on sports talk radio here and things like that, people were critical of them, saying it's going to be a tough year. You know, they're going to have an ugly time trying to win a Stanley Cup or to even make the playoffs. Well, that is because they didn't address their goaltending woes coming out of the playoffs last year. The way that it went, people thought that it wouldn't be good. Jari's been pretty solid so far to start the season. I think most of the concern here has been, you know, boy, this isn't good. They seemingly are dealing with this COVID animal that they didn't last season. They were one of the few teams that were able to dodge it pretty well during almost that entire year. They had it pop up once or twice, but it ended up being false positives or just people that came in close contact with people who were sick. And this year they've actually had a number of positive cases to a number of important players. As Chris Letang said during an availability on Wednesday, I guess the good thing is they've only had a couple of cases at a time. It's not run rampant altogether where you've had six and seven or eight guys out. But I would say that's one of the concerns people have talked about. People are concerned about the fact that they are, you know, losing ground in the division by losing games right now, even though it's not a ton. I think that this speaks to the difficulty of the division that they play in. And obviously the Flyers deal with this kind of thing too. You drop a couple games, you fall far down just because everybody else wins on a daily basis. So you almost have to win more than you lose in this division just to even stay in the conversation. Being a 500 hockey team doesn't work for you. So yeah, I think there's some concern in that way, but people aren't panicking just yet. But then again, it's still Steelers season. The University of Pittsburgh just had a big loss last weekend, so people are talking a lot more about the two teams in question there playing football than they are about the hockey team, at least at this stage heading into early November.
There you go. I wonder, Brian, for this year, even though winning cups is hard, but when you're winning cups, you're always a good team. Is it harder for Crosby and Malkin to kind of get this ship the right way and into the playoffs than any of those other years, even going on a cup run? Because, you know, sometimes you have that team, you have that chemistry. It's not as hard as it looks. And now they're sort of getting into the back nine of their career. Do you think this makes it even harder for them?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, because they're not able to, they're still both very talented players. And I mean, Sidney Crosby, Gino's Gino when he's healthy, but they're not the 10 year ago version of themselves. So it's hard for them to single-handedly maybe take over and or win a hockey game the way that they could back in the day. They're both still very talented and can do a whole lot of things. So yeah, I think you're right. They need to find players to complement them probably more now than they ever did before that they can get going. And when you look earlier this season, they were getting a lot of secondary scoring. They looked like that could be a strength of this team. And now over this losing streak that they've been on, they haven't been able to put the puck in the net. You got a guy like Kasperi Kapanen, who they anticipated being a, not a superstar, but a star player for this team. He's still sitting at zero goals. That's something that's kind of been an eyebrow raiser at this point. So I think goal scoring is going to be an issue, and it is going to fall on the shoulders of those big guys when they are in the lineup to produce the offense. And the question will be, at this stage of their career, are they capable of carrying that load? It's definitely going to be a challenge. They both can do it. I just don't know that they're going to be able to be the main focus over 82 games.
Bet Online is back and better than ever. With a new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football and hockey action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, thinking about all of that, the Penguins have had this reputation over the last, I don't know, say 5 years or so, of being pretty much plug and play, that when guys go down, they just seem to be able to replace them with minor leaguers that nobody's ever heard of, and their system just keeps going and they manage to be successful. Do you think that is still the case this year with the way things are going, or do you think that the Pens need to do more than just call people up at this point?
Well, I think that we're going to really see the value of the trade that Hextall made last year that kind of came out of the weeds in acquiring Jeff Carter. Having him around, it has helped. It's just, he's been out of the lineup himself dealing with the COVID situation. So now he's just got one game under his belt since he returned. I think a guy like that being available helps. Bringing in a veteran like Brian Boyle has certainly helped the cause this year, just with the character and the leadership that those guys have been able to bring, that they've been able to kind of guide some of the younger players. Now, I don't know if this is going to be able to be maintained moving through this month with the injuries still mounting, but early on, it has kind of been that same scenario that we have seen with this team. Mike Sullivan has been able to get the most out of players, probably more so than he should be able to get out of some of these guys. I mean, Evan Rodriguez was the top line center for a handful of games over the last couple of weeks, which is kind of crazy when you think about it with the center depth that this team has.
He wasn't even the top center at Boston University.
No, and he was a healthy scratch during the playoffs last year too, Russ. So, I mean, he went from that to being the top line center of this team and not looking terrible in that role, by the way. I mean, he did okay. He probably didn't go out and produce the offense the way that they would have hoped, but he showed a good hockey IQ and did some good things there. But it's going to be, I think your question is going to be tough to answer today. The proof will be in the pudding moving over the next couple of weeks. Are they going to be able to do what they've done in years past and just offset the loss of these guys? I mean, it is some significant talent, significant payrolled players that have been afflicted and or knocked out of this lineup. Their top goal scorer from the last couple of seasons, Brian Rust, is out currently. He's probably teetering on the edge of getting back in the lineup. I don't think it will be against the Flyers in this game, but he should be back in the near future. That will help the cause as well. But it's definitely, I think, going to be worth monitoring here to see if they can do the Penguins-esque thing of offsetting injuries of Sid and Gino being in Pittsburgh with those guys and Chris Letang being out of the lineup so much over the past decade plus, because they've had a lot of injuries to those guys to deal with.
All right, Brian, this may be the most important question I could ever ask you, and that is, who's the greatest metal guitarist of all time? I saw the Generation Axe tour and actually got to see like Yngwie Malmsteen in person. Yeah. I always thought he was like a myth. And to me, he's the best I've seen from that genre. But, you know, who do you think?
It's hard because if you're talking about just true virtuosos that can just play, he's certainly there. He's unbelievable to watch. I think a guy like Joe Satriani's a lot of fun to watch. But when I look at guys that are in like different bands, et cetera, I love watching Zakk Wylde play. And wasn't he at that Generation X as well?
Yeah, he had the Rachel, this is kind of crazy, but he had the longest guitar cord I had ever seen. So he
He's in the crowd.
basically, yeah, he went in the crowd with a corded axe, and he had one of the techs follow him so they could carry the cord, and he went completely around the place and back on stage with a corded guitar. I'd never seen that before.
Russ, I believe you were at Stage AE in Pittsburgh for some of the NHL events back in the day, maybe. So you know what that venue's laid out. They have the balcony and everything. We saw him play there at one point, and he went somehow up into the balcony with the corded guitar. So they're stringing this cable throughout the entire venue. But I enjoy his playing. You know, I'm a big Dave Mustaine fan. I think he can shred. He's really good. Alex Skolnick from the band Testament, who also plays in the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, believe it or not, is really talented. He
But
can.
you're not picking one. I
I
asked you
know,
to
I know.
pick
I'm
one.
giving you some examples here. Okay, I will say that in terms of what I just said, and it's not on par with like an Ingwe, because they don't do that kind of thing. But I'll say I love Zakk Wylde's playing. He's probably
Okay.
one of my top guys, and the other ones just are right there behind him a little.
That is more than I think I've ever learned about metal guitar.
He knows, believe me.
All right, getting back to the Pens, you talked a little bit about Tristan Jarry. How do you think his play has gone overall, and do you think it's sustainable?
I think he's been pretty darn good so far, especially coming off of the debacle that was that series against the Islanders. I'm not saying for sure the Penguins would have beaten the Islanders, but if they had any kind of goaltending in that series, I think that they would have had a pretty good chance of advancing. The overtime giveaway is something that would haunt a guy for the rest of his career if you let it. And I will say it seems as if he hasn't allowed it to affect him moving forward. And I do credit Andy Kyoto, the former Penguin and former journeyman that's kind of been all over hockey. Yeah, he's the goaltending coach here now, and he's worked so well with these guys, talking about just focus on the next save. The puck has no memory. Just focus on where your skates are that moment. So that's been a good thing. Now, Jari's come out. He's got pretty decent statistics at this point. He's made a lot of big saves. If I look back at the Maple Leafs game, or it was about 2 weeks ago now, where the Penguins put up a touchdown on a Leafs team that no one thought they had any business of doing that with the depleted lineup that they had. Jarry was key in the first period with the work he did on the penalty kill, really mitigating the Leafs, who had five power play shots. They hit a couple of posts during that sequence as well, and then the Penguins were able to take over the game, and he allowed them the chance to do that.
Yeah, Brian, last one. What do you think the Flyers can do that will be beneficial against Pittsburgh?
First of all, if they do what the Flyers have done for many, many years, it starts with drawing the Penguins into taking some bad penalties. That always helps the cause. And they have been known to do that over the years. It's always a lot of fun when you bring the cross hate state into a hockey rink, no matter where the game is played. So I think that will happen. I anticipate them to use some of their speedy forwards to maybe give the Penguins some headaches. That's what the Devils just did to them the other night, which
Right.
the Penguins are still a very fast hockey team, but we were a little bit surprised by the speed of the Devils seemingly giving them some havoc. So I think if the Flyers can unleash some of their younger, faster guys, that's going to cause some headaches. And there's an awful lot more finish in the Flyers lineup right now than there is in the Penguins lineup. So I think getting a first goal, drawing them into some bad penalties and forechecking the heck out of the young defensemen that are going to probably be in the lineup in this game, since there's going to be a lot of veteran presence out. Because let's not forget, yeah, Letang might be back in, which I think he will, but no Dumoulin, no Pettersson, no Ruedel, who's played every game this season before he got sick. So you're going to have POJ in there. You'll probably have some combination of maybe Mark Friedman getting back in there. Marino's going to be
Well, no,
playing.
not maybe. You know Friedman's going to be in there. Like it's a
But yeah, and then
guarantee.
he may get hurt. He may get hurt on like the third shift because his former teammates are going to kick him around again.
Or the other way around. We'll see.
Yeah, that's true. But so there's going to be a lot of young defense going on for the Pens. So I look for the Flyers to really take advantage of that with a strong forecheck.
All right. Well, we'll see if any of that goes down in the game tonight. Just have to say once again, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you out there?
I guess the best place to look me up is at @Brian_Metzer on Twitter. I can be heard on all the Penguins radio broadcasts as part of the Penguins radio network. And I do a post game show. It's been great talking with you both. I appreciate you having me on. Let's do it again at some point. I really enjoyed it.
All right, Mets.
Absolutely. Once again, thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. We're free and available on all of your podcasting platforms. All right, Russ, I am especially excited to get to this week's prospect profile because, like I said at the top of the show, we are going to talk about Frank Nazar, who is a draft eligible prospect for this upcoming draft in 2022. He is a young 17 years old from Michigan. He's a commit to the University of Michigan for next fall, a right winger currently on the USNDP. And let's hear a little bit more about this guy who could be on the radar for the Flyers.
Well, for one thing, I mean, Michigan's just got so much talent, and having so much talent coming, it's ridiculous. It's kind of like the old days for them. But Nazar is a really a terrific talent. He's a great skater. Like, this guy gets a little bit of open ice, and he can make something happen. He's really good with the puck. He's fast with it. He's good in all three zones. He's one of those guys where you feel like his two-way game will get better, but it's already, like, respectable at his age. Yeah, he's a younger guy, so that's a big deal. Range-wise, look, at this time of the year, I'm going to be fairly noncommittal, but I'll say top 20, and we'll go from there. I think he could move up even higher than that. If he were a center, he'd be really high. It's interesting because I still can't tell you if he's a goal guy or a playmaker, or he's like a split down the middle guy. Early on, since it's my early thoughts on him, I'm going to give you that he's a split down the middle guy, but he definitely has a goal scorer's touch. And, you know, there were times when I saw him at the playing in the USHL where he just was electric at times and could really make things happen, almost get you out of your seat. So he's a guy that I think will start to get a lot of notice maybe after the World Juniors. I don't feel like he's being talked about a lot now because they're just other players that are maybe sucking up that oxygen, but he's going to be there. If there's something that he needs to work on, maybe it is just to reel in his passing a little bit. He's terrific at it, but, you know, he'll take a few chances. And I think as he moves up the ladder, he'll take fewer chances and look for more sure things. But he is a fun player to watch. I feel like somebody has called him Frankie already, but if not, it's going to happen. But I don't know if they have, so we'll just say Frank for this episode, and then we'll see how it works out as the year goes on. But really, I don't want to say a surprise talent, but I think when I went to go cover the tournament, I didn't think he was going to be this good. And he made you notice him.
Where do you think he'll fall in the lineup at World Juniors? Like, do you think he'll get a lot of ice time, or is he somebody that's going to come in and out of the lineup?
I don't know if he's going to get a lot of ice time. That's going to be a pretty talented team. I think you're probably looking, when he's in there, at like third line duty, because there are going to be some veterans.
Yeah, looking at his record over the last couple of years, in 2020-21, he was on the U17 team, had 28 goals, 27 assists for 55 points in 45 games played. That's not too shabby,
I'm going to say.
And then so far this year, he's got 2 goals and 2 assists for 5 points in 5 games. So point per game as it currently stands early in their season in the USHL. So it seems like he's somebody that just has to kind of maintain that level of play to keep his sort of spot in the ladder.
That's true. Like, he has a teammate, Isaac Howard, who gets a lot of notice, and he's a bigger guy because Nazar is, what, 5'10". So that's always something that's going to be talked about, but you really don't notice it out there that he is that guy. But, you know, from what I saw of him, I think he will maintain these numbers, and he might even be one of those guys that goes into college and has an instant impact too. If he stays on the arc he has, I can't see him being in college more than 2 years. So unless something changes, that's probably what we're looking at for him.
You mentioned, obviously, that Michigan is a stacked team in NCAA, and so him coming in there next year, given how good everybody is there, that people might, you know, bounce out of there early because they're so good they'll be in the pros, right? Do you think that he'll have, like, the space to grow at Michigan, given all of that?
I do, because even, like, on this year's team, like, Samuskevich is doing really well, and he's not one of the top guys. You know, he's not Beniers, he's not Powers. I just saw a game recently, and he's certainly developing. So I do think he'll develop, and I do think no matter what line you put him on, he's gonna find his own offense. So I don't think he has to be with a superstar. I don't think he has to be with a Kent Johnson, even if he's there next year. I think, you know, if he's on a lesser line than that, I think he'll still find his points.
All right, so I'm definitely going to keep an eye out on him. And it's not too hard because the USNDP is so high profile. And then going into next year, you know, he'll be at Michigan. So,
yeah,
we'll see how the rest of this season goes for him and where he could wind up relative to where the Flyers will hopefully be picking and not trading away that first round pick this upcoming year.
What do you mean, like another Steve Emeriger trade where they could have had like John Carlson or Markstrom, or, you know, just saying.
Well, now we have Risto.
I remember saying it at that draft. That was a really horrible trade. But yes, you don't want to trade the pick.
All right, wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing. I know I harp on Drake, Ivan Provorov's dog, but in the media availability yesterday following practice, somebody asked Ivan Provorov about the transfer of power, so to speak, from Shane Gostisbehere to him as far as being a rep for the ASPCA charity, obviously a pretty important animal charity. And that was really cool. And especially because, you know, Provy has the best dog. I mean, come on.
I mean, I can't say he has the best dog because I have two of my own, but I'll say he has a great dog, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, he's the best hockey dog, let's say.
Okay, that's fair.
But you could just see when he was asked, the way his face lights up when he talks about Drake, it is the greatest thing you will ever see. And so I had to just share the media availability clip that was on the Flyers Twitter account. Because, yeah, you could just see it. He completely changes his demeanor when he's talking about his dogs, and I love it.
Oh, yeah, because he could be a real serious guy. But I was very happy to see that, and it was being talked about in my household because I just thought, hey, that's great. It's great that he's picking it up, and he actually really has an interest in that. I mean, that's can make a big deal in the area.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of stuff they get to do as part of that charity work. That'll do it for today's show. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We'll be back tomorrow with a recap of tonight's game versus the Pens, a look ahead to the game versus the Washington Capitals, and our gritty thing of the week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email the show at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam.
I'm Russ, and I'm at Sportsology, SportsOlogy.
You made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.